This is WMUC FM College Park Radio. Hello everyone. I'm gonna play a PSA before I start the actual show. So, yeah.
While you're outside exercising in the sun and fresh air, make sure to check yourself for ticks after being in woodsy areas like the Paint Branch Trail. Tick bites can cause a serious illness called Lyme disease, which is highly preventable and treatable if caught early. Maryland is in the top 15 states with the highest number of reported Lyme disease cases. The best way to deal with this illness is to prevent it, so avoid going off trail into the woods, and if you have to, make sure to check yourself afterwards for ticks or signs of bites, which usually appear as red bullseyes. If you feel any potential Lyme disease symptoms, like a rash, fever, joint pain, or muscle aches, immediately go to the University Health Center. Don't let this stop you from enjoying the great outdoors. Just be alert when you're outside and prevent this infection.
Okay, everyone. Welcome back to Yusuf on a Sunday.
Hello.
It is indeed Sunday. As always, we keep it real. We keep it on Sundays. Right now, I'm joined in the studio by my co-host.
Oh, I thought it was the co-host, Luke. Hi, guys.
Luke, you're supposed to introduce yourself. That's just how it works.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for it.
You know what? Next time I have an interview with someone else and it's Luke, I'm going to say, hi, I'm Yusuf and this is Luke Smith. I'm going to introduce himself himself.
Yusuf has he's really gobbling down that mic right now.
I'm like, there's a mic guard, but I don't believe in those, so I'm right up against it.
He's just in there.
No, I'm just so tired. I need a face rest.
I'm actually exhausted, dude. This is the worst Sunday.
Me.
I'm gonna sleep like a rock.
And you can't do that.
I know. I have so much work to do.
He's got to do audits. He's got to audit.
I'm gonna freak out. I hate this major so much.
He hates accounting, by the way.
It's just not real. It's not real.
Accounting is not real. He says.
I can't do it.
But that's okay, because we're not here to talk about accounting, right, Luke?
No, we're here to talk about the Balkans.
The what?
The Balkans.
The Balkanization of the Middle East?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. We're not here to talk about that.
Ooh.
I know that some people would be very excited.
We got us some... Ooh. But you said expound upon that. What are we going to talk about?
So, when I first had the idea for this radio show, one of the first ever playlists I made was about Balkan brass music. Mm. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Balkan music, and it's just played in like bands. It's just bands.
It's a big band brass.
Big band brass.
Mm. Yeah. Triple B.
Triple B.
Quad B.
Most of the songs that we're going to hear are actually from... excuse me. Serbia.
Jeez.
Bosnia and...
Herzegovina?
Bosnia and Herzegovina and Romania.
Ooh.
Romania. I got Ramadan brain right now.
You got Ramadan brain?
Yeah, like I can't... Nothing's working up there.
Did you eat?
I did. I had dinner. I had shawarma for dinner.
I love shawarma.
My dad made shawarma.
I love your dad.
You never met my dad.
Yes, I have. We lived together, Yusuf.
Oh, yeah, he came in there. Sometimes.
Yeah, he did.
But anyway, maybe I'll introduce... Sure. I'll introduce this by the... I've been listening to this kind of music, to Balkan Big Brass, since, like, I was a senior in high school.
That's crazy.
So I gotta start off with where it first started, where it all started. When I accidentally found a song called Asphalt Tango.
Ooh.
And the... It
feels like a funny term for like a street fight.
It is.
Oh.
Because
bam.
This...
I'm just like that.
This song is the last song in a album called... What's it called again?
Well,
Balkan Brass Battle. Yes, it's right there. Balkan Brass Battle.
Triple B.
Between a group from Romania called Fanfare Ciocarlia and a group from Serbia called the Boban i Marković Orchestra.
Ooh.
And yeah, God, this song, it's so, musically, it's so impressive. But I think we'll listen to the one song that got me into this, just so we can get a little taste, and then we can talk more about it. Right, Luke? Right, Luke?
Oh, yeah. Let's get right into it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be right back.
OMG. How was that, Luke? What'd you think?
That was incredible.
I'm saying, those guys do things on a saxophone you didn't even know was possible.
So a saxophone, how often do you use a saxophone? Because I would say not brass.
True. Somewhat tone? Brass. Somewhat brass.
Not at all brass. No. It's a woodwind, baby.
Well, it's a woodwind, but like, you know, it's mostly brass.
You can make a boat out of brass to a boat. Come on now.
I guess so. But, I mean, we can make an exception, right, for this. You heard those gnarly solos.
I mean, it was incredible.
Dude, when I first came in, oh my God.
You can make a drum out of brass to make it a brass.
Do you know why the saxophone was never incorporated into the modern day orchestra?
Because it would just steal the whole show?
Yes, but also because in the 1800s, when it was first conceived, the more traditionalist composers were like, the tone of the saxophone would never blend with the woodwinds and with the strings. They were wrong.
It's so good.
They were very wrong, and still they don't incorporate saxophones in traditional orchestras.
I don't like that.
Because of those old farts.
I don't like that at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That made me think, never mind. I was going to go an entirely different tangent.
Oh, you can tell us. I
was just going to bring up castratis.
Oh, yes. Maybe we can talk about that.
I mean, you just made me think of, like, weird old music things. And so I thought about how they used to just castrate boys.
Yes, to give them higher voices.
Yeah, you could retain the higher register of a prepubescent boy while still gaining the larger lung capacity. And because you castrated them at such an early age, you actually caused them, in most cases, to grow bigger than the average human would. Because you
their
cut
growth
off
was
the
stunted.
Hormone. No, the opposite.
Oh.
You cut off the hormone that, like, tells the body to stop. So you get, like, these 6'8 dudes with, like, big lungs.
But then they sounded like children.
They could hit soprano. They could hit,
And what were they used for?
Essentially, some composers didn't use them because they're like, that's crazy, that's weird. Some composers then could create arrangements that, like, a woman just could not physically, they wouldn't have the lung capacity to do, so they could do.
With
like,
a castrati. Oh, that's actually really interesting.
Things, like, certain you know, combinations of, like, high notes that, like, you wouldn't be able to get out of a single female vocalist, but a castrati could.
Very interesting.
But there were also a lot of composers who just refused to do that, because they were like, this is, like, unnatural and weird.
You know what I watched very recently?
What did you watch?
Amadeus.
Oh.
No.
Is that the Mozart movie?
That's the Mozart movie from the 80s.
Is that where he's all sassy, or is that, like...
I don't know if he's yeah, he's kind of sassy. He's kind of crazy. He's got a weird laugh.
Yeah. Who plays him?
I don't know. I actually don't recognize a single actor
in
that entire movie. It's really interesting, but it's a good movie. Yeah. Well, do you want to move on to some more music?
Let's get into it.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to play three of the next best songs.
Of all time?
No, in this playlist.
Oh.
Sorry.
Two
of them were my top five for the Spotify, what's it called?
Wrapped
for this year, actually.
Really?
Yeah, one of them's called Kalashnikov.
I like that.
One of them's called Mrak.
Mrak. Like that.
And then the last
That's
one's called Mrak. Mrak. I think
Mrak.
So, yeah.
Mrak.
M-R-A-K. Mrak.
Mrak.
And the last one is Moliendo Cafe.
Ooh.
Moliendo Cafe, that one has one of the best sax solos I've ever heard in my life. It's simple, but it's really good.
I just miss. We need more sax solos.
I agree with that. I love saxophones.
I love the saxophone so much.
I love the saxophone. Anyway, so first we have Kalashnikov by Goran Bregovic. This is Bosnian. Then Mrak by Boban Markovic Orkestrar. That's Serbian. And then Moliendo Cafe by Fanfare Ciocărlia. That's Romanian.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
On the edge of your seat. These three songs may or may not have a war. After this, we'll see.
A bit of a power kick.
A bitter, yeah. We'll be very careful. We'll be monitoring the situation, like the EU.
Yeah, we'll be with the same kind of strength as the EU.
Yep.
Same kind of strength as the UN, I would say.
Yeah. But here's the songs. Let's stop talking about this.
Thank you.
Idem kući gusta tama. Čekaš li me? Moja draga. Moja draga. Zapalit ću se.
mračina, tjene smake mesečina, opa cipa šuka lače, zasije što jače. Pomračina, tjene smake mesečina, opa cipa šuka lače, zasije što jače.
So Luke, what'd you think of that? What'd you think of that last saxophone solo?
I just about fell out of my chair. I was gonna go. I was really good.
Right.
I'm trying to find tamer ways to say things. Good. Yeah, it was great and I enjoyed it.
Right, and like the other songs too. You like those too?
You saw me bouncing.
On what?
In chair.
Okay. Bouncing on what?
Chair.
On that? Okay, on that chair. You can't take the heat. Oh, wow.
That's way too many people.
That's way too many people listening to Luke bounce on the chair.
I was tapping my foot to that second song. It was getting... What, Brak? I was getting...
Brak.
I was getting my bumper on, to be honest.
So actually, that first song that we listened to, Kalashnikov. Yeah, so you know what that is?
I'm familiar with the word.
Please enlighten the audience.
Not that familiar with the word.
Oh, it's the name of the AK-47.
Oh,
the guy who designed it was named Kalashnikov.
The Russian AK.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And so this song, Kalashnikov, is actually the opening theme for a movie. It's a Serbian like comedy war drama. I forgot what it was called.
Speaking of Russian AKs, while you're looking that up, I remember there's a Matthew McConaughey movie where his son is trying to buy Russian AKs, and this guy sells him fake Egyptian AKs. Or maybe it's the other way around, I can't remember. And I just saw the clip on TikTok one time. And then he, like, scams the scammer, because he's like, psh, it's got two valves, not three, blah, blah, blah. And that's it. That was just my little in-between. Well, he was looking up a clip on Reddit?
No, it's,
It's about Kalashnikov.
So the song is... The song is about... Okay, hold on. The movie is about... I forgot the name of the movie. This is so sad.
This is a really bad segment.
Yeah.
Because you're missing all the pieces that are a part of it.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know what the movie's about. I just forgot the name.
Underground. It's a 1995 film.
Yep.
It's directed by Emir Kusturica.
It's about these Serbian partisans, or they're actually weapon smugglers who smuggle weapons to the Serbian partisans during World War II, I think. And then at some point they get really scared or something, and they hide underground for a really long time, and then they reemerge, and it's like Serbia in the 90s.
Wait, how long were they underground?
For a very long time.
And then when they come back, it's 90s Serbia?
Yeah, and then they kind of start gun running again.
Am I allowed... Never mind. No. We should start drug running, Yusuf.
No, I'm good.
Man.
I feel like... So lame. Brendan Carr, chair of FCC, please don't take Luke seriously.
Brendan Carr, if you're listening to this, I have no interest in drug running.
Okay, wait, hold on. Black marketeers Marco and Blackie, that's his name, manufacture and sell weapons to the communist resistance in World War II Belgrade, living the good life along the way. And then later, they reemerged during the beginning of the Yugoslav wars.
Oh.
It's supposed to be a really, really good movie. It's got an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, 4.3 on Letterboxd, 8 out of 10 on IMDb.
We make an official Useful Assembly recommendation to watch Underground.
Yes, please.
It's 2 hours and 44 minutes, though. That's a lot.
But it's a good movie. It's a lot of good movie. I mean, you know, Lawrence of Arabia, that movie is like 3 hours long.
We have deep cut recommendations here.
I do not recommend Lawrence of Arabia.
Well, I didn't. It's not even rated. It's not rated. Oh.
It's not rated? Oh, fun fact. It's not rated.
The 1995 Underground.
Crazy.
But all that to wrap back around to, to the song you played. Go back up.
Go back up?
Yeah. Kalashnikov.
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 Kalashnikov. Yeah. That plays at the onset of the movie, or just a...
It's the beginning. It's the opening theme of the movie. Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, and no, actually, this Goran Bregovic guy, he's got a couple other songs in this playlist. So I'll probably end up playing them too.
Probably Trucker Song.
Trucker Song.
I see that.
Yeah.
Could be. What do you think of first on this next one?
I think on this next one, I'm actually going to play... Sorry.
Sheesh.
I ate shawarma.
Oh god, don't even get... Yeah, last time last time I saw him with shawarma, it didn't go well.
What is
not
that
the
thing
last
called?
Time, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, there's actually been a little bit of video game influence. Like they've used Balkan Big Brass for video game...
What games?
Soundtracks. Well, actually, I'm going to play the song, and then we'll talk about the video game.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Because it will not surprise you once you realize what it is.
Ooh.
But I'll also play some of Goran Bregovic's stuff. And I'm going to play another song that's big on the internet.
Oh, okay.
If you get Balkan memes.
If you're a big Balkan meme connoisseur, you'll remember this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first song is Chocarlia by Fanfare Vagabondu.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Trucker Song. This is for Luke by Goran Bregovic. And finally, Balkan Surface by Tram des Balkans.
All right, let's get into it.
Let's get into this.
Hoorah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's a little distracted, folks. Don't mind him.
Can't let external conversations bleed in.
Mm-mm. No external conversations here. No one can know what we're talking about. No, no, no.
Yusuf is an enemy of multiple states, it appears.
That's not true.
Yeah,
I have no enemies.
Oh, you have enemies.
Who are my enemies, Luke?
Me, for one.
What?
Yeah.
What? What did I do to you?
We should talk about something just outlandish.
Talk about something outlandish?
Yeah.
Can we talk about how they... Do you want to choose something to talk about?
Well, you seemed like something came to you immediately and then you had second thoughts.
Well, I was going to say, like, we should talk about how Smiling Friends was canceled, but, like...
Oh.
I don't really know what to say about that other than it sucks. Whatever.
Yeah, that does... I do feel bad for you. I know that show was big for you.
You know what, though? At least I don't have to cope as hard as other white people.
That's true. Oh, you consider yourself white?
I am white, Luke.
Do you actually consider yourself white?
No, but on the census, according to the United States, I am white.
Well, yeah, Deloitte, speaking of demographics, Deloitte just considers, like, a large swath of people white. Like, North Africans.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, Middle Eastern, North Africans, they're all white.
Yeah. I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
You can tell me, like, take a look at a Gulf Arab and tell me he's white.
Well, the funniest part is they also have black, which includes those from Africa. And
yes.
And you can be both white and black according to their...
Yes.
Very vague classifications.
No, that's what I think is really interesting. A lot of Gulf Arabs, so, like, people from the UAE, Oman... UAE, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Bahrain, a lot of them have darker skin tones to the point where some of them are, like, they're actually just black.
Yeah, it's certainly, it's just so funny to me. It makes so little sense that you could have someone, like, the, by their definitions, white, and then the opponent is just like, this is not...
In England, they don't have Latino as an option. Latin Americans don't exist. In England.
Are there a lot of Latin Americans in England, though?
No. No. No, there really aren't.
I feel like I wouldn't choose England.
No, I mean, when I had to fill out their immigration forms for my visa, it was like that. They asked me what I am, and I was like...
Do they have, like, South American as an option? Or, like...
No, they didn't even have, like, Turkish, which is weird, because they have a Turkish population there.
I was gonna say, that definitely
So I just put
weird.
Other.
So you're just other.
I'm other.
I don't know why. Like, I know, like... Countries, obviously, like, is it that hard to just have all the options? Like, I feel like there's pretty encompassing. Like, just have Middle Eastern as an option.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For some reason, Middle Eastern just isn't, like, a option ever.
Right. No, I was going to ask you, what do you mean by have all the options?
Like,
you mean, like, go
thing,
by country
like,
by country? Because also, yeah. That wouldn't really work.
You couldn't do country by country, but, like, the fact that most of these don't consider the Middle East a distinct region seems incorrect.
Right.
And obviously, there's flaws with any, like, generalization and any, like, large grouping by, like, one term. But, like, European can work. You know, you could do Asian can work.
Yeah.
And I think Middle East is a distinct enough region that covers there. And then, you know, South American. You could get into more specifics there, but, like... I feel like that covers, you could at least, like, if you're from one of those places, you'd be like, okay, I can at least kind of,
I'm
like,
South American
identify.
At least,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's just crazy to me that you would just have, like, someone from, like, Egypt, or, like, from Cairo, from, like, Morocco, and, like, they're white.
They're white. Some of them low-key, though, do look really white.
Yeah, there's obviously white-passing people in those places.
Levant Arabs, very white.
Yeah, and at times, you...
I had a teacher once... When I used to live in the UAE, I had a teacher from Syria who was, like, one of the whitest people I've ever seen in my life.
Mm, yeah.
And, no. She didn't have ginger hair, but there is a population of Syrians with ginger hair.
That's interesting.
You wouldn't think of it, but there are. They exist.
Have you noticed, this makes me think of something. People want to be ginger now. Have you seen it? Like, there's, like, a growing
really?
Number of people who, like, dye their hair ginger.
It's because of Marshawn Lynch. Do you know what he said once in a podcast?
Him and Sam Darnold.
Him and Sam Darnold, yeah. If you know, you know. I'm not going to say it out loud, but if you know, you know.
I think that might have been big for the ginger part. Especially since they won the Super Bowl.
Especially since...
That put
gingers
on top.
Yep.
Low-key.
No, or maybe just everyone wants to be Irish now.
Ah, that doesn't feel as likely.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah...
Luke, do you want to be Irish?
Do I want to be Irish?
Yeah.
I like that I'm somewhat Irish, but I'm as Irish as an American can be.
I'm as Irish as Guinness, mate.
I do like Guinness.
I can't do an Irish accent.
I can't either. I can't do many accents, to be honest.
I have a little bit of a Scouse accent.
You do have a decent Scouse, I think. But
I'm not gonna bust it out.
We should...
Should you listen to more music?
I was going to say keep talking.
Oh, okay. Hold
no,
on.
No, we can do some music.
I need to play at least like three more songs.
We didn't even talk about the music, though.
We didn't.
That first song was from Rabbids.
The first song was from Rabbids. That's the video game.
Which you can definitely like, you can, once you say it, you're like, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, this makes sense.
I don't understand what that game's about. I remember it being advertised so much when I was like eight. And then never again. The franchise was big at one point. It was a big IP for Nintendo, right?
I'm not going to lie. The only thing I like remember about Rabbids is that one clip where like there's a white rabbit, a population of white rabbits, and then they introduce like, they're red, and then they introduce one blue one, and then they're all like running away from the blue rabbit.
I don't like the blue rabbit. Did this predate Minions, or was this at the same time as Despicable Me Minions?
I have no idea.
Like, I feel like there was only enough space in the public conscience for one weird little like creature thing, and Minions won.
Raving Rabbids.
Because I swear, Rabbids like had the kind of pull Minions do at one
the
point in time.
The first game, I think... Okay, it looks like the first game came out in like 2011.
When did the first Despicable
Me... No, sorry. Oh my god, they have so many games.
Yeah,
the first game came out in 2006.
Right? Like, that has to... That predates the Minions.
They released a game every single year.
That's what I'm saying.
Until 2013.
It was so big for a second.
And then, starting 2017, they released another one. And then 2021, 2022, and 2024.
We're still pumping out the Rabbids?
Yeah. 3, 6, 9, 12. There are 13 Rabbids games.
That's... so crazy to me. That shouldn't be.
For a franchise that was, like, I guess, low-key popular at some point, why are they still pumping out games?
2011, it was definitely popular. I remember they did, like, crossovers. Like, they were in pop.
Oh, yeah, one of these games is, like, Mario plus Rabbids.
Yes, they did. They were, like, they pulled, dude. And I think my thesis is that the Minions took that space.
The Minions.
And now they're big. I think the Rabbids could have been the Minions.
Screw the Minions. No, I'm kidding. I like the Minions.
I feel like that's rude. Let's get into some music, though.
Yeah, I'm just going to play two more songs, TBH.
Let's just play two more songs.
I'm going to play Bubamara by Bubamara Brass Band.
Bubamara.
And the name of the album is actually Bubamaria.
I like that.
Bubamaria, Bubamara, Bubamara Brass Band. That's all B. We're listening to Balkan Big Brass Music with Balkan Big Brass Brand with Bubamara, Bubamara Brass Band, Bubamaria.
I liked that.
Thank you.
And then what else?
And then Hochemo Liu Shabak by
Stanovsky Bell.
Yep. In the album of Balkan Merak.
I like that.
The second song I actually like. It's a very interesting concept. It's a good concept. It's cool.
Ooh, it was something to talk about.
And then afterwards, Luke and I will just talk about whatever, and you guys have to sit and listen to it.
That's the beauty of a captive audience.
Hardy har har.
They will leave.
Let's see, how many audience members do we have listening to us? Let's go, 14.
Back down to 14. Notice we start talking, we start running. All right.
Music time.
Let's get into this, guys.
Hey, momci, Hoćemo li šabac na vašar?
Hoćemo. Da idemo, da se provedemo. Da idemo, da se provedemo. Da idemo, da se provedemo. Da idemo, da se provedemo.
Hoćemo li ljubit stare babice?
Nećemo.
Hoćemo li ljubit mlade cigančice?
Hoćemo. Stare babe, za bećare slave. Stare babe, za bećare slave. Stare babe, za bećare slave. Stare babe, za bećare slave.
Hoćemo li popiti kakakole?
Nećemo!
Hoćemo li se napit sa lepe šljivovice rakije?
Hoćemo!
God, that was, I think, our last songs for the day.
I was going to say.
Wow.
So we've just got a little bit of time left.
Oh, my God. I forgot to put the songs. Luke, you're going to have to start talking to people because I forgot to put the songs on the thing.
Snap. Time for a soliloquy. What's the thing I can talk about? I feel really strongly. I can't talk about what we were just talking about. I feel very strongly. I think the entire financial system is held up by the veil of accounting credibility and a very unstable and fake sense of transparency and accountability. Mm-hmm. Because the entire... It makes no sense that companies should fund their own audits. Because then it creates a profit incentive to only hire someone who will sign off on your statements.
Mm.
And, oh, look, and now we're bumping listeners again.
I guess the listeners like listening to Luke because, talk about taxes and auditing.
Because it doesn't make any sense. Why would you hire someone? All you're just, companies are just paying these accounting firms millions of dollars per engagement to just sign off on their statements.
Yeah.
All you need is someone who's willing to say, yeah, you're good, and then keep it pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one's going to say no. And even if they say, like, hey, this is bad, all they're going to do is tell the company, yo, you got to fix this so it looks better. It never becomes external. It's all internal operations until it becomes anything external. It's just, yeah, it's good.
I mean, I guess that's why they have the government, but also at the same time,
the government doesn't really have any power over these
things. It doesn't have the capacity to audit like that.
The government only can pursue, like, fraud post...
Yeah.
Like, you know, extensive damage. And at that point, there's no fixing the issue. It's just hoping you're able to punish someone. I fear we're getting to a point where we're not even going to have scandals anymore because it's too massive. Well, I mean, like...
I mean, low-key, we don't have scandals anymore anyway.
It's hard to. Because, again, like, number one, it's never going to come from either the auditor, which it should. It should come from the auditor.
Right.
You should have auditors being like, this is not good.
Right.
Like, and reporting it. Mm-hmm. But you can't because you're not going to pay someone who tells you no.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you pay somebody $1 million to say, like... Sorry, you just put an image. Why would you pay someone $1 million to be like, you're wrong? There's no point. You're just going to pay a different firm
There's
to
no
say
point.
You're right. Like, it's like a race to the bottom. It's just that you don't get anything productive out of the system. There is some argument to say that you have, like, an external body. There's this idea that all companies should put money into a pool, and that pool then pays the auditing companies. And so no longer is it money from company to accounting firm. It's now money to external independent organization like the FASB or not FASB or like one of the accounting boards.
How do you decide how much money a company has to put?
Prorate it. I mean, just based upon
like kind of like a bracket system.
Yeah, probably a bracket system.
Size of the company.
System. Yeah, market, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure
there's a way to do it.
There's a way 10 smart people could figure out.
Yeah.
And then they all pull that money, and that money goes out to pay firms to audit.
And then, actually, Luke, why don't you come up with this?
Write
a PhD thesis on it.
That would be cool, but it would just be utopian.
Who cares? It's like all of political science.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting.
Anyway, folks.
Solutions that are effective.
Luke was rather passionate about that. I very much enjoyed hearing him talk about that.
Yeah, it's just my little 5-minute rant.
A little piece for today.
Piece.
But I think we have to go.
We do have to go.
It's time to go. Good night. Good night, everyone.
Hello, people of College Park. Welcome to Frequencies. You're listening to WMUC 90.5